Meet the Administrator, Part 3. Randy Babbitt takes audience questions at AirVenture. I'm Paul Plack, and this is Aero News. Welcome in to today's special feature, and thanks for the download. Today, in Part 3 of FAA Administrator Randy Babbitt's Forum from Oshkosh, the floor is open to questions. But first,
Randy, before we go to questions in the audience, there's one question I'd like to ask on behalf of everybody here. As I said, you're the new FAA Administrator, but why don't you share with them a little bit your aviation background so they get to know you better?
All right. Well, I started flying when I was 16 years old. I was a flight instructor later on. I instructed while I was in college. I flew commercially. I flew for an old airline. I can test your ages in here. Anybody remember Eastern Airlines? Now, I flew for Eastern Airlines for almost, I was a line pilot for over 20 years.
What type of equipment were you flying at Eastern?
Does anybody remember airplanes that had propellers on them? Does anybody? I went to ground school on the Convair 440, but I didn't actually fly it on the line. They were growing so quickly, I flew the Lockheed Electra for 3 years, DC-9, 727, Airbus A300. That was a steam gauge Airbus airplane.
Well, we'll get ready to ask questions. We'll have microphones in the audience. So the first question, we have a question right over here, straight down the aisle, if we could go here. Yes, this gentleman right here. When you ask your question, could you state who you are, where you're from, and your question, please?
Sure. John Kuzelis from Dallas, Texas. More and more of our airspace is being encroached upon. First of all, thank you for being here and your team. Appreciate that very much. Our airspace is being encroached upon with prohibited and restricted areas, TFRs. But what my question deals with is the future. Is more and more these UAVs being, you know, the predators here, and is it going to be more use in the United States? And my concern is how can you assure us that more areas won't be taken over and restricted by the use of these and take away our airspace as a result?
No, that's an excellent question. Two observations. First, with a lot of the upcoming improvements in RNAV and RNP approaches, I think we are going to be able to shrink some of the necessity to restrict those airspaces to start with. The UAV or the UAS, the unmanned aerial systems, is a challenge. Right now, everybody here, you have an obligation, if you're VFR, to see and be seen, avoid. If you're in IFR conditions, you detect and you are detectable. Those are challenges for us. And we're working with a lot of folks. The machines themselves are marvelous. I think they said one of the biggest crowds they have was to watch the UAV land here. I wasn't here when it happened. But the airplanes provide a lot of incredible opportunities with technology. You can take an airplane and look at things and not put people in harm's way. You can do that in the military sense. You can do it. You can have people flying in, you know, right behind a hurricane to see what's there, what's the damage. The challenge is, how do we make that compatible and not restrict the airspace? And so we're working very closely with the manufacturers, with avionics, with our own regulations, so that we make them safe and allow them to operate in the airspace without restricting an unnecessary amount of airspace.
Question here in the front row, and then I'll go to this side of the room.
Good morning, sir. My name is Jim Campbell with the Aero News Network. As Tom can probably tell you, you can gauge the concern of the aviation community by the waves of email on any particular topic. A couple of years ago, user fee. Lately, TSA. There is a tremendous amount of fear out there. The question is, and we're seeing some other industries fight this encroachment, but the usurpation right now on the part of TSA over the control of access to our airplanes, access to our airports, or for that matter, commerce between airports, is growing and it's becoming tremendously problematic both to civilian as well as commercial operators. At what point is the FAA going to basically put its foot down and say, wait a second, this is our job?
So I'll just call the president and tell him I'm taking the TSA back. That's that.
Would you like his number?
I appreciate very much your problem. I think you're all aware I'm relatively new. As an administrator, I'm new. On the other side, at the TSA, there's only an acting. We don't have a permanent administrator. And one of my goals, when that administrator is named, is to sit down on an interdepartmental level and express what I hear, not only from you, every component of aviation is struggling. And, you know, we do need to work some things out. I think when they get a new administrator in there, we can lay out the cases and the facts and the things that we need to do, the areas that we think we can help them, and I think we can. We've had a lot of experience in this in the past, and I think we can be a great help. But it is going to take, I don't want to just push this off, but I don't really have any counterpart over there to deal with at this point in time, but I expect that will happen shortly. And I would really like to say to you that we're going to work really hard. I'm going to, you know, do what I can to get this issue resolved, because it is a, it's a real choke point. And when you're making your decisions to go out and fly, you don't need one last thing to say, you know what, I was going to go, but that's, I can't waste the 20 minutes it's going to take to get through the other hassle. So we'll work on that.
And Randy, not just the issue of a new administrator at TSA, we're dealing with an agency that maybe doesn't have the expertise to understand aviation. And we want a safe country, but not at the expense of some of the things. We have people that have given their lives to make this country free. And we're giving up our own freedoms in many regards through regulations. It's wrong. It's dead wrong.
Well put.
In a moment, could we have an FAA administrator who actually listens to GA? Randy Babbitt on Through the Fence Agreements. I'm Paul Plack, and you're listening to a special feature from Aero News.
At Cirrus Design, we don't ignore the fundamentals of aviation design. We just give them an ingenious new interpretation. The Cirrus SR22 GTS, Cirrus's premium luxury ride that has come to define Cirrus aircraft as one of the world's elite. Every dream option, from supple leather seats to an exhilarating 310 horsepower performance and speed, comes standard, giving new meaning to the phrase fully loaded. When flying the SR22 GTS, getting there is truly more than half the fun. To learn more, call 888-750-9000 or check us out on the web at cirrusdesign.com.
Finally, aviation headsets have evolved. Clarity Aloft is the next generation of headset design. Clarity Aloft headsets employ patented Comply Canal tips, composed of soft viscoelastic foam, the same foam tips used in advanced hearing aids. More than simple earplugs, these foam tips provide full-spectrum noise reduction and outstanding attenuation. This advanced technology is lab-tested, proving that viscoelastic passive noise reduction is superior to active noise reduction. For more information, call 612-747-3197 or check out the innovative Clarity Aloft headset on the web at clarityaloft.com.
Welcome back to the Aero News Special Feature. I'm Paul Platt. New FAA Administrator Randy Babbitt is taking questions at Oshkosh, and not all the answers go over very well.
I'm Brent Blue from Driggs, Idaho. I fly to Driggs, Idaho. And this past year, the Acting Assistant Administrator of Airports decided that through the fence agreements and hangar homes were incompatible use with airports. Now, there is no FAA rule that says hangar homes or through-the-fence agreements are illegal or forbidden in any way. The Northwest region, Ms. Taylor and Ms. Suomi, have decided that it's their mission in life to end every through-the-fence agreement and every hangar home in the Northwest region. And I would like you to make the decision to stop the insanity that's going on there.
I was getting educated on these through the fence agreements. Just to give you a little bit of an indication of what my first 30 days of my current 45 days in the job have been, I had four
hearings. He had to give up his hangar home on the airport.
Yeah. If I hadn't spent all that time moving, No, I had four hearings in 3 weeks, and so I'm really, there's a vast array of issues out there, and I apologize for not having detailed knowledge. I do know that there is a distinction between airports that get aid and improvement monies and those that don't. We've got someone here in the airport world, though. Let me let one of our folks that knows a lot more about this than I do address it.
My name is Jesse Carragher. I'm from the airports division. It's great. It sounds great to get up and get in your plane and take off and have fun. But on a privately owned airport, that's great, and you can go forth and do that. On a publicly owned airport, there are what's called grant assurances on federally obligated land, federally obligated airports, grant assurances that require compatible land use around the airport. And we've had a longstanding policy of opposing the through-the-fence operations. And we deal with them on a case-by-case basis. We're not running out there and trying to end every one of these right away. We deal with them when they come up on a case-by-case basis, and each region is dealing with it from that standpoint. So hopefully that answers your question.
I guess the question I'd ask to you, Randy, and your team is the fact is that we want to promote aviation. One of the most important aspects is usability of the airport. It's a place where we take off and land, but it's a place where we also socialize and enjoy our airplanes. And if it's a long-standing policy, maybe it's time to address the policy.
We can. It's clearly something that we need to look at. I don't know enough about it, quite honestly. I heard the same issue, that you heard it described the way you have. I know there are compatibility issues, but, are we being overly restrictive, when we consider those? And that's a valid question. And those areas where there's no significant effect, I don't see why we can't be a little more liberal with those. But there's going to be other cases where you say this is simply not compatible. We're putting people in harm's way. Things that would make sense to everyone. But we'll certainly take a look at it for you.
Tomorrow, in the final installment of our Meet the Administrator excerpts from AirVenture, Randy Babbitt answers an audience member who feels some staffers within the FAA are just trying to create more work. You've been listening to a special feature from AeroNews. Find us on the web at www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.